You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, September 4th. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell concludes the series, Discipleship on the Road. The message focuses on Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, and is entitled, The God Who Seeks the Lost, Near and Far.
This summer we've been looking together at a series of messages from Luke's Gospel, and we've been looking at this compelling, beautiful picture that the Gospels proclaim, or that the Gospels paint, of the kingdom of God. God's dream for the world, God's dream for what it would look like in our community and in our homes. The kingdom of God, very simply, is whenever and wherever God's reign, God's vision, God's authority, God's grace becomes real, becomes known, becomes lived among his people. When Jesus began his ministry, he announced that the kingdom of God had come near, that it was present. He wasn't talking about a somewhere over the rainbow kingdom, but he was talking about the inbreaking of God's reign, God's kingdom, God's dream for the world, heaven here and now. Jesus was the living inauguration of that kingdom. And the book of Colossians calls him the firstborn of all creation. Now, what we aim to do here through these messages, what we aim to do here in this church, is to allow our lives to be shaped by this kingdom vision. It's possible that we can come up with all sorts of ideas, all sorts of thoughts about what God is like. We can come up with those on our own. Have you heard this one? God helps those who help themselves. That's not a kingdom image. Sorry. If you've used that one, not scriptural. We can, on the one hand, allow our minds to be shaped by what we think about God, which may make us feel good and may look good and make us comfortable with the decisions that we make and the way that we use our lives, but actually run the risk of being far from God. And that's not what our goal, that's not what our aim is as a church. Our aim here at Wabash Presbyterian Church, our aim as a part of this community instead, is to do our very best to allow the picture that Jesus paints of the kingdom of God to permeate our lives, to look to what Jesus says and allow that vision to become our vision, to let his dream become our dream, and then move us out into our community. So the stories that we're going to look at this morning are in Luke 15. So I would invite you to take out your copy of Scripture, or turn on your copy of Scripture, or turn to the screens to my left or right. And we're going to look at two very important pictures that Jesus paints about the kind of people that God is pursuing. Jesus, again and again, is coming to people and addressing their notion of who is and who is not acceptable to God. And among the Pharisees and the scribe, this was the question that was often a part of their conversation. Who was and who was not acceptable? Who was in and who was out? Now, everyone who is walking the path with God, will at one time or another be confronted with this question of, am I near, am I far? What is my location? What is my proximity? And Jesus goes through these parables so that we can get a sense. He paints these pictures using words, using images that were very familiar to the people that were listening to him, so that each one of them could find their place in the story, find their place in God's narrative. Jesus does this through parables so that we can see our place in the story. And in them, he warns us against self-righteousness, against assuming that we are on the right side and those people over there are on the wrong side. But he also tells them that those who are prone He tells them so that those who are prone to despair, thinking that God could never love someone like me, or you don't know what I've done or what I've been through, he tells them so that they can find the message of hope of a God who is pursuing them and returning them to the safety and the embrace of the Good Shepherd. That's why Jesus taught in parables, because we're all, in one way or another, a sheep or a coin. So let's look at his words now by way of introduction to our passage. Luke says this, starting with verse 1 in chapter 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he told them this parable. Now, around Jesus in this moment are two groups of people. There are, on the one hand, the sinners and the tax collectors. And they were near to him in this moment because they wanted to hear from Jesus. Everyone who is far away from God, everyone who is far away from Jesus, will experience in their lives an inner emptiness, a void that they cannot fill with work or possessions or even family. Everyone will experience that inner yearning to hear good news. Everyone who is walking the path away from God will have within them something that yearns to hear the words of hope and of life. Their hearts will be like a desert, like a barren wilderness, dry and parched and thirsty. And so this group, the tax collectors and the sinners, wanted, their hearts were dry, parched, and they wanted to hear that good news. Now, on the other hand, in this moment, there were those gathered around him who were scribes and Pharisees. These were religious people. And they were gathered for an altogether different reason. They are there because they're upset by something that Jesus is doing. In the words of Luke, they are upset because Jesus is receiving and eating with sinners and people who they don't think should be close to God. They're upset because he receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus is receiving and extending such kindness to these sinners that in their minds it seems as though he's condoning their behavior. In their minds, his gestures of kindness and hospitality are being mistaken for blanket acceptance and approval of everything that they do. And that's concerning to the Pharisees and to the scribes, because they've devoted their lives to doing the right thing, to being very religious, to being close to God. So in the crowd that day, gathered around Jesus, are two types of people. And they're there, one is there to hear good news, and the other is there because they're concerned that Jesus is receiving the wrong people. And what he does in this moment is he tells them a story describing how God thinks of his children, those that are far and those that are near. Listen to how Luke continues. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, and he says to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Jesus addresses the thinking of these Pharisees by telling a story with the simplest possible image that they would all have understood. Everybody in the audience knows about shepherds and sheep. Everybody in this audience knows about shepherds and sheep. Every day they would have seen these shepherds in their villages. They would have seen them in every hill and pasture around Galilee. And he says to them, imagine that you're a shepherd. Imagine in this moment you are a shepherd and you are there with your flock and you realize that one of them is missing. Now you only have 99%, but every shepherd would have known their sheep so well that they would have known that sheep that was lost. And when one of them wanders off into the wilderness, that shepherd is concerned. Now the wilderness area around Galilee is a very dangerous place for sheep. Imagine one of your sheep, Jesus says, is off in that wilderness and they are there all alone. What Jesus is asking is that every one of his listeners would imagine in their minds a picture of helplessness, of hopelessness, of loneliness. Because sheep are, they're social creatures. They love being around the other sheep. But when they're isolated, when they're removed from the fellowship, when they're removed from the flock, when they're alone in the wilderness and vulnerable and exposed to all the elements, their response is just to lay down and die. Not because they don't want to find hope, not because they don't want to find water and good pasture, not because they're melancholy and despondent and sort of depressed. Sheep don't get melancholy. They're too dumb to get melancholy. Sheep are unable to find water on their own. They're unable to find good pasture on their own. And so when they're lost and when they're alone, they don't know what to do. So they lay down, and there they remain. To be a sheep that's lost in the wilderness is to be hopeless. And there's only one way that a sheep is going to be saved, and that is if the shepherd leaves the other 99 and comes after them. Now, Jesus is not telling them a story about shepherds and sheep. He's telling them a story about themselves. To be a tax collector in this day was to be a crony of the Roman Empire, who cheats and swindles people out of their money. A tax collector was someone who was so despised and so looked down upon by everyone around him. They were the lost. They were the isolated. They were the hopeless. Because of their position. Day after day, they would have thought to themselves that the world around them was just a wasteland and that they wandered lonely and alone. Now, to be a sinner, in whatever shape that takes, is to be someone who, for one reason or another, is far from God. And they find themselves swept away in some activity or some behavior that causes them to be reviled and rejected. And because of it, they may not be welcome in their community. They may not be welcome in the rest of the village. And in that way, we sinners know what it is like to feel lost in the wilderness because of the things that we do. We know what it feels like to feel isolated, to feel alone. And the way that Jesus speaks to them in this moment is by telling them a story of a man who has 100 sheep and he loses one. But instead of saying, well, you know, 99's not bad, at least I've got the majority of them, he decides to leave the flock and he pursues that one lost and lonely sheep. The one that is lost matters so much to the shepherd that I am willing to put myself, I'm willing to put the rest of the flock in danger to go off and return that one. What Jesus wants, those grumblers, that's what he says, the grumblers, the Pharisees and the scribes, to know is this. You see somebody who is lost because of their own poor choices. You see somebody who, because of their own negligence or their own selfishness or their own appetites or their own stupidity, whatever it is, lost, broken, alone, hopeless. But what God sees is one precious, valuable life that needs to be rescued, that needs to be brought back to the fold. And God is willing to do whatever it takes to bring that one back to safety. Notice when the shepherd finally finds that one lost sheep, he doesn't say, "Why did you wander off?" or "Why were you so irresponsible?" or "Why did you do that dumb thing that you did?" No, his response is to rejoice. He throws the sheep up on his shoulders and he carries it back. And then when he gets back, he says, "Celebrate with me. I found a lost sheep. This one is safe." When the shepherd returns, Jesus says he demonstrates the exact opposite emotion that was demonstrated by these Pharisees and scribes, the ones who were grumbling. He rejoices. Jesus says to the Pharisees and scribes, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Now, is Jesus saying that these scribes and Pharisees are righteous and that they don't need to repent? I think what we will see when we look at this next story is that's exactly not what he is saying. He's not saying that the Pharisees are all, they're all good, that they've got it all together. The lost sheep comes home into the safety of the fold, not because of what the sheep does. Remember, they're helpless and dumb. But very simply, it is saved when the shepherd comes after it, hoists it up on its shoulders, and carries it home. And that is what it means to return to God. The lesson that Jesus is teaching was about how God views people who are far from him. God's desire is to bring back those who are lost. And on the surface, it would appear that this next story is just really the same story, just told with a different image. You know, instead of sheep, insert coin. Instead of off in the wilderness, insert the word home. But there's a very important distinction that we need to recognize if we're going to see the full weight of this story. And it has to do with location. Listen to the next story. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." What we see in this story is that being lost is not just a matter of location or proximity. What Jesus is saying in this moment is that it is possible for somebody to be very close to God and still be totally lost. Instead of being alone in the wilderness and unable to find their way home, needing a shepherd to find them, the coin is lost within the home. It would appear that the coin is very close to the master, but in this moment, it is actually completely lost. Now, here's the rub. The Pharisees and the scribes were serious about their walk with God. They were serious about their religiosity. But in reality, they didn't know God. To Jesus, the Pharisees were like that coin that was hidden within the master's house. It's possible for somebody to be very close to God, a regular attender of the house of God, and still be lost. Do any of you know the experience of being in the house but still being lost? Growing up, my conversion story, or my story of coming to faith, was not a lightning bolt burning bush, you know, like I spent my life beating up Sunday school kids and then all of a sudden I became one of them. That's not how I came to faith. I was a church kid. I was raised in church. I loved youth group. I was there every time the doors were open. I was like a coin that was lost in the house. I loved going to youth group, but it was like I would go to youth group and I would see my friends who had this living relationship with Jesus. I would see them like, imagine a great big expanse of deep, blue, clear, refreshing water. And they're swimming in the water and they're enjoying it and they're loving it. And I was sitting on the shore. I was dipping my toe in the water. I was unwilling or hadn't taken that step to step into the water, step into that living relationship. In this gathering, in this room today, there may be some of you, there may be some of us who feel like coins, that we've grown up in church, we've been here our whole life, and yet we still feel lost to God. Maybe you are someone who sits on the banks and watches all the other people swim in the expansive depths of living water, but you yourself have never jumped in. Jesus painted these two pictures because he wanted people to change. He wants us to change. We come to this place not to have our minds reaffirmed, but we come here to have our hearts and our minds transformed. I was somebody who was lost close to God. Jesus is the shepherd who finds lost sheep. He's the shepherd who finds lost coins. Those that are lost far away, helpless and hopeless. And he finds those lost coins that are right there in the master's house, but are outside of the master's grip. What does it mean to be a coin that is lost? It's unrecognized potential. The coin that's not in the hands of the master can't be spent. It can't be used. It can't be put towards the good purposes and the mission of the master in the house. And so lost coins are just unrealized potential. Every one of us can find ourselves in these stories. So where are you? Are you tired of trying to hold things all together? Are you tired of looking for meaning in the things that can never satisfy? Are you dry and parched and hungry for living waters but can't seem to find the way? Let Jesus pick you up and carry you home. Or are you in the house but altogether lost to God? Are you a mountain of unrealized potential? Put yourself in the hand of the master and let God use you. Let God spend you. Let God use you up for his mission. This is what is true. This is the true picture that Jesus reveals of the kingdom of God. It's the place where people give up. They give up the search for meaning in life, alone and isolated, following after one appetite or another, and allow the shepherd to throw them over their shoulders and carry them home. But it's also where people give up and give over their lives to the good purposes of the master, who uses them for the mission that he has for them. Because the truth is that all of us are lost, or were lost in one way or another. It's just that our locations may be different. No matter what the case, Jesus is inviting you into his kingdom to be used, to be spent, to be purposed and commissioned for the life that you were meant to live. Are you ready for that today? Then you need to be nourished. Well, let me go back. Are you ready for that today? Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Well, we need to be nourished. We need to be fed. We need to be strengthened for the road ahead. Or maybe you are so used up and tired and parched that you just need to have the shepherd throw you over his shoulders and carry you home. If that's the case, then you need to come to this table and to receive the manifold grace that it offers. This feast is the foretaste of the kingdom of God. And the only way any one of us comes to it is by recognizing that we are all sheep and coins. On our own, we're capable of nothing. But the gospel we proclaim is that Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, the incarnate Son of God, paid it all. He broke the chains. He bridged the gap. He wiped the slate clean. He accepted the just punishment for our misdeeds and redeems us because he loves us. He loves us. And because he is the hound of heaven, tracking each one of us down, finding those who belong to him. And once he finds them and he brings them home, he says, "Rejoice, for I have found my lost sheep and my lost coins." Sheep, coins, come to the table and receive life. Let's pray. Good Shepherd, loving Master, thank you for the way that you pursue us, for the way that you get our attention, for the way that you find us when we are helpless and hopeless and lost, for the way that you find us in our religiosity or in our empty ritual, and you invite us into that living relationship, to that living experience of the kingdom of God. And now, Lord, I pray that you would feed us by this table. Nourish us, encourage us, equip us, and send us so that we could be used for your great purposes here and beyond. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.